The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up a little bit later on in this hour, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. That's around 11:45 or so. We'll hear from both of them, get another update on Juju Smith-Schuster's status for Sunday's game. He's the only one of that grouping, Pacheco, Aminihue, that has a chance to play on Sunday, in my opinion. I think we're kind of on the same page there. We know the practice window is opening up, but we'll see. It'd be nice to have Juju Smith-Schuster back in the mix. We'll also talk some Royals baseball in 15 minutes or so. A name that's out there in the trade market that's kind of interesting for the Royals, and are they in a spot? Considering the year they had, are they in a spot where this is a realistic trade? Not, we all would love Juan Soto. That's not realistic. But is this player realistic? We'll explain who that is in a second. But thinking of injuries and Pacheco maybe coming back over the next couple of weeks, we know Kareem Hunt has been sensational. But man, they are having no issue running him into the ground a little bit. And they've had to. He's been sensational, and his carries have been well north of 20 for multiple games during, what is it now, six games, I guess, he's been with the team. And we had Nate Taylor on the show yesterday. We asked him about, like, hey, is there any worry about running him to the ground a little too much?
I think the true answer is yes. He finally hit the wall because he had the least amount of time to rest and get ready for this game. And that goes along with all the Chiefs, right? Their schedule is such a hodgepodge of nonsense when you look at it, because obviously they are the, you know, they are the NFL's darling. They're going to be in every time zone this season, except for the international one, because they did that last year. So think about this from Kareem Hunt's standpoint. No training camp. They've been giving you the load. Hey, man, our quarterback's ankle's kind of jacked up. We're going to hand you the ball a ton in the second half.
And so when you hear him say that, like, he's hit the wall, I agree. Bill Barnwell put out the stat this morning. Since he became the starting running back for the Chiefs, he got signed, he has led the NFL in touches per game at 24.6. I think it's fairly obvious now the Chiefs' plan was to not get Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt in a timeshare when he came back, but instead use every last bit of juice Kareem Hunt had until Pacheco could come back. Because this is crazy usage for a running back as it sits right now. I'm not surprised he's hit a wall. I do think his performance has come down each of the last 2 weeks, and they could use Pacheco back as a re-energized version of the run game.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had 14 carries this last week, and they were not effective running the ball against the good Broncos.
Pass catches, maybe 10?
Yeah, it's 7 catches for 65. Yeah. I guess I disagree. I get every definition of hit a wall. The week before, the guy had 27 carries and 106 yards and a walk-off touchdown. So, like, I think
but that grind was the first half too.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's hit the wall, but definitely, like, he's not gonna be able to do this for another 2 months of getting 20 carries. The good news is Isaiah Pacheco could be back in 3 weeks. I think for the sake of both of them though, the minute Isaiah Pacheco's available, he shouldn't start getting 20 carries himself either. I don't know if that's be 50-50, 70-30, 60, you know, 65-35. I don't know.
No one should be getting 24 touches a game. I know that.
That has to balance each other out, because you still are talking about a player coming back from a pretty serious ankle injury and needed surgery in Pacheco's case. There's a way that this can work out for everybody. All right. You saved us during this stretch, Kareem Hunt. You were great. We're going to kind of lay off a little bit. We still need you, though. We're going to lay off a little bit. Pacheco, we know you're coming back from injury. We're not going to go 100% with you. We're going to balance this out. Let's not forget, a guy that hasn't been active in a while, I would not surprise me late in the year, especially if they have the one seed locked up. If we see for the first time all year, if we see Clyde actually get activated later.
Yeah, remember, Carson Steele Clyde game week 16.
It would not surprise
does not seem
me.
That crazy.
Late in the year, if it looks like the one seed is safe, why? At that point, really, why rack up any carries for Pacheco and Hunt? I would like at that point to activate Clyde for the first time, to have P. Ryan even play a little bit more. Like that's to me how they should handle it in December. during that four game in 17 or whatever it is stretch.
He was off the street and they're letting him touch the ball 25 times a game. That's too much.
He's been awesome though, man. And They've needed it though. That's why they're still undefeated.
I know. It is why they're still undefeated. But I also just think that like the juice is running out. Not for the season. Not that it can't be recovered. I just think if you get a guy who never had a training camp, you do those things, you hand him the ball 25 times a game. The last two games in particular, and I know we finished with 27 carries for 100 yards in the other one. Dude, it was a hard-earned 107.
Oh, yeah, he's beat up.
He had to work for it. And, yeah, that's the other part of it. I'm seeing a lot more of the, like, the Lorenzo Cain coming out of center field body movements where he just, like, looks like he's just dragging his whole ass body to the sideline. Like, I'll keep taking the ball if you keep giving it to me. But, like, coach, this hurts. Like, that man needs a break. Pacheco coming back is going to be good for him. That's also why I think in the last couple of games, we've seen those random Carson Steele moments, which give me, I mean, they make me nervous. They make me real nervous every time he comes into the game because the fumbling issues early, he doesn't have the blocking stuff down, but they're like, well, we can't give it to Kareem Hunt 30 times a game. Or give it to him 25 times a game and ask him to pass pro in the other 15. I just think he's at his limit of how much more you can use him at this, which is great. It's fine. Pacheco's coming back in maybe a week.
That's why they've approached it this way.
The timing has been very good.
I think that's why they've approached it this way. It's because they know that if Pacheco was out for the season, then yeah, they would have had to, I think, activate Clyde, and it would be more Clyde and Kareem Hunt. Because they know help is on the way, if you will, with Isaiah Pacheco. I think they're willing to risk the potential that you wear him down. I think it's a fair point on the text line from someone, 913-586-7965, that, hey, look, Kareem Hunt hasn't played much the last couple of years, so in general, there's not as much mileage on there. I hear you, but there's some truth to that, but also we are watching the games. I mean, his body's getting beat up. I mean, the one pass on, I don't know if it was second down that Mahomes found him in the flat, he got pummeled. And he's taking some brutal hits. And at some point, you know, Andy even joked weeks and weeks back about him needing to be in the ice bath way more than anybody else all week. So I would be more concerned if this was the guy the rest of the year, because you know that you're going to have some reinforcement. I think it's fine. And until Pacheco's back, this is what they need to keep doing. The only difference I wonder if they're willing to do at some point, would they actually activate on game day Clyde? We know he's on the roster. He's way past his 21-day practice window and all that.
I'll say today is not the day. Like, this, or not today, this week is not the week.
Clyde,
to be like,
had one very good game up in Buffalo a couple years ago. Remember that was the weird Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday afternoon foggy game, no fans, and they ran all over Buffalo.
This feels like the like movie ending where they're like, you got one more carry in for me, coach? Like, you know, like when the coach is like, you got one more in for me, Alex? And he's like, for you, coach, anything, right? Before we start dialing your snaps back and we let you rest for a little bit, we're going to need you to touch the ball against the Bills.
Last 2 weeks.
Sorry, man. One more time, though. One more time, and then we'll let you dial it. We'll let you rein it in a little bit. Because this week, honestly, is not the week to find out whether or not he's hit the wall and to give him a break. This win means a ton for the Chiefs.
Again, The hit the wall thing is a little weird to me. We're all watching the same thing. I'm recognizing with you and Nate that he's beat up. I guess I don't agree with the hit the wall thing. The last 2 weeks he's combined for over 100 yards of scrimmage from scrimmage.
Per game. Yeah.
I mean,
like,
if anything,
that's 2 weeks in a row. We're all on the same page. He's beat up, but like, I haven't been like, well, he's already done. He doesn't have the product. The guy's had over 100 yards from scrimmage two straight weeks.
Well, and let's say they feed him 20 times again, Cody, and he only has 50 yards and he's gassed. You know that he's hit the wall at that point. Like, maybe him actually playing, it's not even him resting in because he might have hit the wall already. It's you're going to find out maybe this week if he is hitting one, because it might come and it might come this week.
I think you notice it less because, like, for whatever reason, Kareem Hunt could have signed with any team in the NFL. I think you got the best version of Kareem Hunt because he wants to do anything to prove that he should have been here the whole time. Like, I think he's playing, like, I think he's hit a wall and you're noticing a production dip from a per touch basis. I understand he's got 100 yards, but in a per touch basis, it's been way worse the last couple of weeks because he'll die on the field for the Chiefs at this point. Like, it's crazy. I think he is more motivated to prove his worth to Kansas City like a kid trying to prove to their parent that they're, you know, like I just really think that there's this like extra level of motivation for Kareem Hunt. I'm not saying he's a bad running back. I do think he's hit like a wall of production where until you rein some of this back in, you're not going to see the settle down.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk a little Royals baseball before we hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. That's because there's a rumor out there about a player that could be traded to the Royals. Does it make sense? How realistic is it? We'll tell you.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is next. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We're going to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes in about 20 minutes or so on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Just a brief break from talking Chiefs, and we'll get right back to them, plus the trash of the day. Let's talk some Royals baseball. More awards coming out yesterday, first of all. Silver Slugger Awards. No surprise, Salvi and Bobby Wood Jr. taking home those honors. We'll find out ultimately who wins Manager of the Year, MVP later, but we know they got the finalists for Cy Young and Seth Lugo and Q for Manager and Bobby for MVP, and that was expected.
Special season for Bobby Wood Jr., especially at shortstop.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But there's some rumblings out there as we get closer to the winter meetings, which will take place in early December. Yeah, you've got the bigger names out there, Juan Soto doing meetings and things like that. But realistically, where can the Royals improve this roster? We've talked about there's actually only a few spots based off of the roster crunch other than trading away prospects or pieces, I'm sorry, whether they're prospects or not. But the latest rumbling out there centers around the Philadelphia Phillies. And the reason why that organization is interesting to follow, they've been very successful, but it's an aging roster. That roster's starting to get a little bit older, which was why at first I was surprised to see that the name Alec Bohm came up, because he's only, 27 years old? He's not one of the 32-year-old players, but they want to bring back some prospects and some youth, maybe their organization. Third base is one area we know the Royals could improve.
Okay, this is a layup. Do it. Trade for him. He's got a full year of control this year in 2025. He doesn't become a free agent until after the 2026 season. So he's not an expensive player for you to acquire in the short term. And if there was a single position on the field, Gold, where I'd say you could improve to the stage of you have a guaranteed thing, it even makes sense for the Phillies. You trade Bohm. You trade them Michael Garcia. You give them other prospects. And instead of 4 years of Michael Garcia, you only get two of Bohm. But you get a player who was a three war player last year, hit 280, had a 332 on base. There's your leadoff hitter. Your leadoff hitter at third base. Does he have the power you typically want at third? No, but you don't get that power anyway now. At third base. It is borderline a perfect fit. Look, I understand the odds would tell you that they are also one of the three or four biggest favorites for Alex Bregman.
10-1 offshore odds.
Sure, but that's one of the three or four biggest favorites. Same as Santander. So, like, some of the players right now that I would also be interested in that happen to be outfielders instead of infielders are also available to Kansas City. But at the free agent price tag, it sometimes can go up. Santander's probably going to get $100 million. I don't know what Bregman's going to get, but probably something similar. Bohm has 2 years of control, is 27 years old. If you like what you see, you can continue that storyline within Kansas City. He can be your leadoff hitter. He can be a middle of the order. Whatever you need, he covers those things. And for the low, low price of a couple of prospects, and I understand their system's a little dry, I don't see why you wouldn't make a call if the Phillies are actually willing to trade him. Doesn't this feel like kind of a perfect fit in Alec Bohm?
Well, it makes a ton of sense. What we don't know, and it's hard to say right now, is one, obviously there's going to be competition for that because
everything we just said, other teams are saying.
Yeah, if it's a perfect fit here, there's, I don't know, six other teams, you know, maybe that's too many, but you get the point, five, six other teams that probably are looking at it the same way. Like, okay, we can definitely use a third baseman. He's not a free agent till 2027. He's arbitration eligible. We can handle that. He's not going to break the bank. What's the compensation getting back? Ultimately, the Phillies, of course, I don't know what specifically they're looking for, but do the Royals match up? All the time we can talk about trades, do the two sides match up in terms of what each is looking? The Royals might be looking, and we know they're looking for a leadoff hitter. Third base would be an upgrade. Do they match up? What are the Phillies looking for? Was it prospects?
Do they like Mikel Garcia? Yeah. Do they like some of the pitching?
Is it prospects they're only wanting back? Or do they want a big league ready player as well?
Like the Royals used to do.
Yeah. Are they looking for pitching help? I honestly don't know. We're not in Philadelphia, but that would be my question that I would have. What are they looking, not just flat out the overall cost, but is there a particular position they're wanting back? Do the Royals have what they need? That could be why you make or break the trade.
I think what's interesting about this is if you want the major league ready, I actually think that's a better fit for the Royals if they want players that still help them now, because they can take the downgrade hypothetically at third base, and then the Royals can still offer major league ready pitching. They technically, and I know that this sounds crazy for the Royals, they currently have too many arms for the big league level that they can use regularly. Their system still needs some catching up. This is where they kind of run into a problem. But what we're talking about with, like, there's kind of a log jam at the back end is what I mean. Lynch and Marsh and Kyle Wright and Bubich, and like there's kind of a log jam at the back end of, or Singer. There's a log jam at the back end of the rotation, long reliever, not long reliever. What are they here? Their version of their offense where if they like, now, same problem. They have to like one of those players.
Yeah.
I don't know if I haven't talked to the Phillies. I don't know if they like any of those players. But if they like some of the pitching or any of the pitchers that are available to them, and they like the future that Mikel Garcia can offer, and I'm like, look, Mikel could just get better here, and they could just roll the dice. He is certainly a young player who has shown me things that make me think he has a chance to be a really good player in major leagues. I'm just telling you, like, if you want to compete right now, one guy is better now. Boehm is better now.
Are you willing to take, and I haven't looked at the deeper numbers. I don't know if someone's asking about the defense of Alec Boehm. Are you willing to take a little bit of a drop off defensively? Because we know Mikel's got a great glove at third base. Are you willing to take the drop off there for the bat? I am. I think they got enough defense everywhere else on the roster, frankly. And we know that's typically, you know, sometimes they have been a defense and speed first based on the ballpark and everything. And it's obviously worked in some cases. In other cases, it hasn't. I think the answer on the surface is yes, I would be willing to take the slight decrease potentially in defense. And it's not like Alec Boehm's bad. You can pull up some of the metrics. I'm sure you're looking at them right now. How much different are they?
87th percentile.
Okay.
He's got a weak arm, but he ranks as a very good third baseman.
I think the offense, though,
out above leadoff, average, 87th percentile.
Okay. All right. There you go. Offensively, and for a leadoff spot that you desperately need help, very much interested. But as the text line is pointing out, throwing out names, I honestly, it's much different than the NFL. Like, we have a good idea of what compensation it takes to acquire a player in the NFL. I'll be completely honest with you guys. Someone says Marsh and Mikel, does that get it done? I have no idea. On the surface, I would say no, but I don't know. Is it a Singer and a somebody? Is it your top, one of your top 10 prospects plus a big league? I really don't know, man. Do you like that? Baseball's tough. Without talking to somebody involved,
yeah.
I really don't know what it takes to acquire a player like Alec Boehm.
That's probably in the ballpark of what
pun
a team
intended
would accept. But yeah, it is a, here's the problem with the metric end of this is that teams don't do what the rest of us do. Most in the NFL and the other things, they trade picks. Those have an assigned value that everyone agrees on in the NFL. They have a value. Everyone agrees they have a value, and they all have a similar value based on that. The problem in baseball is everything you trade is not draft pick related. It is prospect related. And I'll just tell you right now, if the Phillies are looking at the Royals' top 20 minor league prospects, that doesn't mean anything to them. A guy being ranked 11, they might like guy 31 more. The Royals might like guy 31 more. It's all based on just like who you like. Now, look, there's a range. They're probably going to be looking for a top 30 guy, top 40. You know, like they're going to be looking for a good prospect. But what level of prospect that guy is kind of a guess. I did look it up, by the way. Mikel Garcia is the 75th percentile of outs above average, so they're in a similar range, but has a significantly better arm strength metric, at least on that end. So, Boehm, less of a strong arm, but also does fine. Like, you're not getting a significant drop off at third
base. See, I mean, if it's a very competitive market, then yeah, of course, the price goes up. I mean, all that is stuff we just don't have a good feeling yet, but got excited. I think a lot of people maybe got excited if they saw that.
I kind of want to see him add one more bat, I think. Like, I'm comfortable, and I understand the idea of, I do, I understand the idea of just sticking with these players and going to those players and just being like, you know what? These guys got us there. Let's see if they can get us there again. And let's believe that development will continue similar to that in the 2014-2015 run. But it feels like you take a lot of the variables of, is this a playoff team out? If just in one of those positions where you're asking development to occur, you just lock in a known commodity. Just one.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's squeeze in a little trash of the day before we get back to the Chiefs and hear from Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes coming up in about 15 minutes or so. You might have seen this one float around the last couple of days. We had some other ones we got to first, but it's still relevant. So somebody probably lost their job over this, I would assume.
Most likely.
So you may be aware of Universal's Wicked movie. That's coming out?
Yeah, my daughter wants to go see it. Yeah. She's been listening to the
soundtrack, probably,
soundtrack,
right?
Yeah.
So there was thousands of these Mattel, the toy maker Mattel, Wicked branded fashion dolls on shelves at Target and Walmart, etc.
She's seen them and would
They're
like to purchase them.
They're flying off the shelves, okay? Not because of consumer demand.
Oh.
They're flying off the shelf, Cody, because they're having to take them off the shelf.
Oh,
and the reason
no.
for that is there's a misprint on the package. Pretty big misprint. There's a website listed for the movie. Makes sense. Promote the movie.
Okay.
The problem the problem is that the Wicked website they gave was not the Wicked movie website, but it was, I guess, a adult website.
Oh, no.
Also with the same name.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm looking at the article now you sent. Wickedmovie.com is the link that should have been in there.
Wicked movie. Go there.
Wicked.com.
Something wicked.
Oh, boy. Yes, ooh. Somebody had it.
Okay, so on a child's toy, they put a link to a pornography website?
They did, by accident. They were suggesting these retailers initially just go with a Sharpie and cross off.
No.
And single one?
And the retailer said, nah, we're pulling them from the shelves. They were also being sold at Kohl's, DSW, Barnes & Noble, Macy's. Some sites were still selling them. Some people, for whatever weird reason, were buying them.
Oh, because they want the weirdo freakazoid thing.
Yes.
You know, you could just go to that website and not buy the doll.
No one's stopping you from... Yeah.
Well, honestly, probably someone's thinking it's like a collector's item down the road.
I guess.
For one type misprint?
I don't know. I'm just saying that's what it said. The movie comes out November 22nd, and dozens of these Mattel dolls, if you go on eBay right now, according to the article, it says are listed between $40 and $2,100.
What?
The dolls retailed for between $20 and $40, depending on the character and outfit. Now, you can list anything you want on eBay for any price. I can list this bottle of water for $1 million if I want to. The question is anybody buying them for $2,100 or $70? That we can look on eBay if we want. But anybody, the listing price doesn't really mean anything because truly you can list anything. If Cody wants to list his shirt right now for $500, he can. Doesn't mean anybody's buying it.
I don't think. Just a regular
shirt. Maybe for charity they would, but I don't think they're just going to buy it.
I promise I didn't list the couch for negative $100.
Have you gone to the site? See what's on there for you?
No.
You can just check real quick.
On the work Wi-Fi?
Oh, my goodness
gracious.
Just
tell people if they accidentally go to that website.
I'll go to wickedmovie.com right now. Wicked. Wickedmovie.com.
Cody's asking you to turn the Wi-Fi off on your phone.
I'm on the movie website. We've made it there.
That looks normal.
I'm not going to delete the movie part. You can do that on your own time, Cody, if you want to explore.
No, I mean, at work, that's a wild
don't,
time.
You can't be doing that at work.
No.
I'm assuming people have been busted for going to bad websites at work.
Of course.
And my point is,
of course they have.
Look, I just, there's one thing I'm pretty sure of. I have never been that horny in my life. That I'm just like firing up adult websites while at work? You're at work. You're at your job.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
No.
That's a wild decision. That sucks. Especially because, like, you know, it's a thing. And I'll be honest. I don't know how many kids are, like, looking at the box of the thing and be like, I'm going to go to the website for the movie. Pretty unlikely, I'm going to guess.
Someone on the text line, check the site. Good stuff. The movie site? I'm assuming you're talking about the good stuff.
The movie site.
Good stuff on the movie
Wicked
site.
Movie.
Yeah, the movie
Did you
site.
Learn more about Ariana Grande's performance?
I did not. I honestly didn't know what the cast was.
Ariana Grande's in it. You didn't know that?
No, I did not.
Is she really?
They've been running a lot of trailers for it.
They've had a lot of promos. I didn't realize she was in it.
Yeah. She's like the, I don't know, she's like the lead.
Someone says the state of Kansas might be stopping you, unfortunately. Someone says not even at lunch.
Not even a lunch.
No.
Oh,
my gosh.
No.
I don't think so. Save that for the snitch line next week, please. I guess. Actually, you know what? No, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
You going to go see the Wicked movie?
I don't know. It's probably something my sisters will probably go see.
I want to go see the Gladiator movie.
The new one?
Yeah.
I do as well.
Yeah, with Denzel.
I'm a little worried, but Denzel might save it because Denzel's Denzel.
Dude,
but
Denzel says he's almost done acting. Yeah, we got to see Denzel movies before it's too late.
Five more films, I think I saw.
That's what he said. And that's why I'll probably go see it, because I'm also worried. You're like, we all know the original with Russell Crowe is incredible. Like, it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
So you're afraid that it's going to be ruined? Dude, it's got Denzel Washington.
But that's what I just said. That's what I said. Like, Denzel's giving me faith that it's not going to be a terrible remake.
Said Ariana Grande is Glinda the Good Witch, if you're curious.
Okay.
Of her role.
I've heard of Wicked. I mean, my sisters did musical theater and stuff. It's been on Broadway, and but this is the movie version.
I've never been that horny in my life. That music behind it really adds something to it, you know?
Textline's calling my BS. Textline's calling BS on that, by the way.
That
you just said.
Oh, really?
Well, someone says...
agree to disagree.
Between you and Dusty today, man, apparently, I don't know if you guys heard about Dusty's moment.
I did see the text line. I did not hear it. I wasn't awake at 6 a.m. when he was talking about a certain time of the day. But what's funny is I made the same mistake as an intern. As an intern, I made the same mistake he made today. So I actually, you know what, Dusty? Might surprise you.
There is a cut in there.
I
don't think we can play the cut intentionally.
Explain to me what happened?
It's one thing if you ask.
He was trying to talk about clock management. Clock management.
I've been in that boat before. When I was doing this with our old friend Ryan Wachowski, when I was a part timer and an intern up in St. Joe. This was probably 2012 era, right around that time frame. And
that's unfortunate.
I was talking about coming up at 10 o'clock. And I think Dusty made the same mistake.
Yes.
Instead of saying 6 o'clock, you guys can guess what he actually said.
Got it.
That's what I picked up on. I don't think you can play that drop because
it's there, but
it's one thing if you accidentally say it. I don't think you can intentionally just have that word playing over and over on the radio.
It makes sense that you say
knowing that.
He's
not in trouble for the FCC for accidentally saying it while on the air. If you and I just play that clip 30 times over the next 30
I mean, trust me, I want to play the drop. Believe me, guys, I want to hear it, but I don't think we can play it.
I'm just going to have to wait to listen to it in the break.
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely going to go listen. I want to hear it.
So, it seems like a bit risky. I still can't believe
it. It happens, man. It happens sometimes.
I've misspoken.
If you're a little lazy with the L... You know?
Yeah.
Talking too fast is probably what'll get you.
That's exactly it.
You're just trying to burn through the sentence. You're like, o'clock. And you're like, just really emphasize.
So like tomorrow coming up at 1 o'clock, you know,
I can
Paul Charchin, 1 o'clock tomorrow.
I could see.
You guys are testing fate a little bit here.
Yeah, I know. Now you know what's going to happen.
It is a little bit of a risk. I will admit. The text line is warning us, by the way, that if you don't want to go buy those toys on there to make sure that you search the sold items.
Oh, you can actually see what the price is. That's the same thing with cards. Like you can list any trading card, you know, Mahomes rookie card on there for $1 million, but you go and look, that same card sold for $2,500 or whatever, you know. That's how they do comps for the card stores locally that buy them. They'll go on eBay or whatever and comp and see, all right, this one sold a month ago for $600. We're not giving you $5,000 for it. Nice try. You know,
we'll give you $300 for it and we'll sell it for $6. Do you want it or not?
Exactly.
Makes a lot of sense.
So what about Cody's gum bucket? Yeah. We've played that plenty of times on the show before.
You know, it's our drop, so we're a little more willing to get fast and loose with it.
Yeah.
That moment.
Up next here on Cody and Gold, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. What's the latest with Juju Smith-Schuster?
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Cody and Gold hanging out on a Wednesday. We're expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They are not at the podium yet. As soon as they get there, you'll hear both of them right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. I think the most interesting thing I'm curious to hear about once again still is, like, all right, is Wanye still healthy, good to go?
One.
And then Juju. If he's closer than a Minshew and Pacheco, is he close enough to play on Sunday? We might have to wait till Friday to get that confirmation, but I do want to see what it looks like for Hopkins, Juju, and Worthy and Kelce to be on the field at the same time. We haven't seen that yet. I think that would be the closest we've seen to a full complement of offense.
Yeah, or as close as you're going to get until the guessing game of Pacheco, and then, like, maybe in the keep your fingers super crossed Hollywood Brown situation, which could add something maybe a little bit later on. Although with that one, it's like hard to imagine having a massive impact knowing that he would not have played a single snap for the team the entire year. Wanye is the big one. I would like, when Andy Reid steps to the podium here in just a few minutes, for him to just be like, Wanye's going to be a limited participant, or he's going to be out there, whatever. Yeah. Just whatever you need to tell me, I just need to know that Wanye Morris is on the practice field in some capacity for this team. Because, and I saw the stats, and this is still hard to believe. He took Kingsley Suamataia, played 46 snaps in the game on Sunday. He allowed 8 pressures of those 46 snaps. Now, I want to remind you, roughly half of those snaps are rushing snaps. So, like, just...
So, let's say 8 out of the 25 or something. Because I bet you they pass more than
honestly,
in the second half.
Feels low. Like that, and that's a third of the time. So, every three plays he stepped back, Mahomes was just getting, like, obliterated by his guy. Benito was the guy who got the better of him, I think, like, 90% of the time. But, like, 35%? Again, this is not meant to say that Kingsley has no future in this league. I don't know. This puts a little damper on the possibility of what you think.
That's a huge question for next offseason.
Yeah, massive.
That's an offseason conversation, but it's a huge problem in left tackle to discuss what's the next move. And we'll have plenty of time in February, March, et cetera, to discuss that. Short term, it's obvious. I mean, Wanye Morris has to be the guy. And we had Ross Tucker on the show in the 10 o'clock hour today. He agreed that if Donovan Smith's willing to do it, you should bring him on the practice squad, get him up to speed, and have an insurance policy in case Wanye misses time, because right now you don't have an insurance policy.
And that's what it is. I think if they knew Wanye wasn't going to play this week, they would have already made the move.
I agree
honestly,
with that. I agree.
Maybe I'm just way off here. I feel like they'd have made the move if they just thought Wanye wasn't going to play, because the same, like, if we know this is always the way I look at football a little bit. If we can see it, like, if it's so obvious that no one could miss it, they're not blind. Like, they're not blind to this either. Andy Reid has to say the right things. He has to step at the podium and say they can get better.
My guess is they won't do it, but I would love to know, you know, for all those that would say, hey, if you're in a pinch in game, move Tooney to left and you'll worry about Mike Caliendo or whatever at left guard or something. I would love to know, is there any chance during practice this week would Tooney get any left tackle reps? My guess is no. But that would be fascinating, though. They would never show that in the media look anyway, so we would never know. But I'd be fascinated to truly know, like, would they even give him any reps at left tackle just in case, just to have a couple reps under his belt if in-game. Not Joe Tooney would not play left tackle for multiple games. It's a, hey, it's the fourth quarter.
Spot.
Fourth quarter, big drive. Wanye can't come back in. We can't have Kingsley. Would you be willing to move him over? I know fans would. Are the Chiefs willing to? They didn't do that last week because Wanye Morris was good enough to come back.
I mean, I honestly think they would have had to do it.
Let's go out to Arrowhead and hear from Andy Reid.
All right. As far as the injuries go, Charles and Jake will they'll start working today. And we'll just gradually build them up as we go. And that's really it. Everybody else is practicing. So look forward to the challenge of playing the Bills. Real good football team. We know that. We played them several times here over the last few years, so we know they're well coached and a good team, and they've got good players. So we've got to start our work day today and get busy with it. Get preparation. Time's yours.
Could you imagine a scenario where either Isaiah or Charles plays this week?
Unlikely.
As you look at the Bills, they've had, you know, obviously roster change in all the teams. They look significantly different on offense with some of the defections on wide receiver. They pretty much the same stuff.
No, I mean, they're doing well. They've similar stuff, but quarterback's playing real well, and he likes those receivers that he has. So they're moving around well, and they seem to be on the same page. Good tight ends, you know. So good running back.
Andy, Lonnie Morris, how's he doing? And what happened with him in the game? He got hurt, came out for a while, but he looked like he could have gone back in, and then he finally did. But
yeah, he got on the stationary bike where he's waiting until he get the thing under control there. So he tweaks it every now and then, and that's what happens. So he comes out, and then he's able to go back in.
Coach, what's your optimism level on a return for wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster?
There's a good chance he's back. We'll see as we go through practice, but if it's up to him, he's back. Yeah.
Andy, Josh Allen's been more efficient this year, less turnovers. How has he been able to do that based on what you've seen on tape?
He's doing a great job with the ball. He's using everybody, and he's not forcing anything in there, obviously. So I think he's doing great with his decision making.
Andy, every position has a rookie learning curve. With left tackle, what is the difficulty of coming right into the NFL and being prepared?
Yeah, well, you've got good players on the other side that play against that left tackle, and when you're young, you know, there's going to be a couple hiccups in there. You just got to bear with it as they grow. Before Wanya got hurt, he was doing a nice job out there, but that thing, you know, you had the bone bruise before, and then he tweaks it every once in a while, so it takes a minute to calm down, then he comes back in. But every week he's gotten a little bit better than he's been starting, so that's a positive going forward here.
Andy, with one, you mentioned the bone bruise. Is that like a long-term issue that you might have more concern about going forward, or is it something?
He's not doing anything to hurt it worse. That's not what's going on. But these things are like a little bit like the high ankle sprain that way, where you bring them back and they tweak it and they sit for a little bit, calms down, come back out, and they go. So different injury, but I mean, it's what he had.
Andy, I know you've spoken to this a bit, but what do you think has enabled DeAndre to have such an impact so fast? And obviously, it's talent and intelligence, but what is it that's made it all come together that way?
Yeah, well, he's always been a great player, and this offense gives him opportunities, his style of player, and the quarterback trusts him. So, and then what he is what you saw on Sunday with the one catch on the crossing route, where Dirty Tough lands on the football, is able to get up, shows no sign of weakness on that, and wants to get back in and go. And that's been him. Tough catch, contested ball, lands on it hard, and gets back in and plays and wants more.
From the outside looking in, anyway, I think it seems like he gives you a little different dimension than some guys have in the past. Do you agree with that? Is that seem like that range of things he can do?
Well, he's great with the contested balls. That's what he's great with. So if you get it in, and he's got long arms, big hands, and if you get it in that radius, you're pretty sure he's going to get that stuff like that. So, you know, but we've had good receivers here, and we have good receivers here. So, but that's his strength right there.
Andy, when it comes to Kareem Hunt, obviously a lot of carries. The last three games he had 70 carries. How is his conditioning going on so far, going into this game in Buffalo where you might have to lean on him even more? You know, how are you trying to complement him and measure his carries out?
Yeah, so we threw him the ball a little bit more this past week. They were doing a good job inside, just kind of shutting off the run game part of it. And so we ended up getting him the ball. We like to get him the ball whatever way we can get him the ball because he's a good player. He's doing well. Or just coming off the couch. I mean, he's like second in the league for the number of games he's played on carries and yards. So, I mean, he's doing a heck of a job. And he wants more. So he's not asking to come out now. That's not quite how he's wired. But he's doing well. You know, he fell on his leg there. One of the guys fell on his leg and kind of tweaked it a little bit, but it's fine.
Coach Xavier started off the season pretty fast, made a little bit of an impact. It's kind of tapered off a little bit. Are you sensing any frustration from him? What are you sensing?
I haven't. He's a competitive kid, and these things work like that. You know, he's got a lot of guys around him that have played, and he's learning as he goes. But he's so smart. He's got talent, and teams are playing all that shell coverage on the back end. So some of his deep stuff, they try to take it away there. But that's not the only thing he can do.
Right.
So it's just a matter of getting him. There's going to be a game here somewhere where he gets a lot of catches, and we all kind of go, all right, that's how those things work.
We'll go across the room. Go ahead, Matt.
Coach Leo wins SAFC Special Teams Player of the Week. Not a big surprise. We've talked about him developing as a defensive player, but he's been a key special teams player for a while. How important is he?
Yeah, Tobe banks on him to be a core guy for him. Spags banks on him to be a guy for him that he can move around and do different things, from spying a quarterback to being a very good pass rusher to being able to set an edge in the run game. So he's a valuable guy. He doesn't say much, but does a lot. So we all depend on
Dave?
Sean McDermott talked this morning about how he likes seeing you on TV with your commercials because that's the personality he got to know over 12 years with you. What was Sean like working with him, his personality? Did we see what he's like when he's at the podium or on the sideline, or he's something else?
Yeah, I haven't watched his press conference, but he's got a great personality. Fellow redhead, man, he's a heck of a football coach. And he came from a father that was a football coach, and so he grew up around it, was a good football player himself, and just top-notch. I have a lot of respect for him, what he's done.
Sam?
Andy, you mentioned that Xavier Worthy, but what did you see on the way he was able to create separation on that deep pass? Was there anything more than missing just in his throw?
Yeah. No, that was it. He did a great job on that one. Of getting behind the guy, and that's a good corner too. So he gave him a little hezzy move and took it from there. So did a nice job with it. And somewhere we'll get all that worked out. You know, it'll happen. Just gotta keep rolling.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
You're listening to 96.5 The Fan here on KFNZ FM and AM, HD1 and HD2 in Kansas City.
Yeah, that injury report we heard from Andy is brought to you by QC Kinetics. Pain in your knees, shoulders, hip, or back, that won't go away? Well, you can check out QC Kinetics for long-lasting relief. No surgery, drugs, or downtime. Go to QCKinetics.com to make your free appointment. And that update, of course, included that Isaiah Pacheco and Charles Omenihu will begin the ramping up process today. That's a great sign. Also, in terms of them playing Sunday, as expected, he says it's both of them unlikely to play against Buffalo. Did say, though, Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, has a, quote, good chance to play Sunday. Said if it was up to Juju, he'd be playing on Sunday, but they got to see how he goes. So that's the latest on the injury front for the Chiefs. The picture's getting better, the best it's looked.
I like that Wanya's practicing.
Knock on wood, over the last, really, since the beginning of the season. I mean, honestly, since week one, it's the best it's looked in terms of everybody heading in the right direction.
Agreed. But he said something about Wanya there that only reinforces the thought that you and I had, at least about left tackle. He said essentially what the injury he has is like a high ankle sprain, which means sometimes in the middle of the game you aggravate it. You need a quarter off while that calms down, and then you can come back in and finish the rest of the game. I'll be honest. I don't like that.
Sounds like Donovan Smith should be on this team, backing him up. All right, we're going to talk more about that, but let's go back out there, hear from quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
I know it's been over a month since this happened, this burglary, but your first reaction when you realize you're part of this sort of targeted situation that happened?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's frustrating. It's disappointing. But I mean, I can't get into too many of the details because the investigation is still ongoing. But obviously something that you don't want to happen to really anybody, but obviously yourself.
Can you say, if we know this happened midnight on a Sunday morning before that Monday night football game, were you or your family, were you guys home?
Yeah, I can't speak too much about the details of everything just with the investigation going on. But I'm sure at some point that will be talked about.
Patrick, when you know, with your resume, I know there's things that you won't accept in a way that you win and a loss. Your play this season, I know it's probably not up to your standards. How do you rectify that week in and week out when you say that, you know, you got to improve and, you know, you got to get better?
Yeah, I think I learned a lot about myself last year, just when I didn't feel like I wasn't playing my best football, and we were kind of struggling throughout the season, and I kind of learned how to just find ways to win. And so it kind of helped me grow up, not only as a player but as a person, to show that it's not about stats, it's not about how you get it done, it's just about getting it done. And so I know how tough it was last year when we were losing those football games, and if we're finding ways to win this year and I'm not putting up the stats, I'm feel a lot happier when I go home.
Following up on that, Patrick, I've got to ask, because, you know, it's obvious when we're looking at it from the press box, but the tackle situation, last few weeks they've been getting their work put in on them, and you've taken probably some unnecessary hits. What are you saying to them coming out of the huddle, coming off, you know, when you're getting up off the field and blocks are being missed left and right, and you're taking some unnecessary hits?
Yeah, no, I believe in those guys. I believe in all the guys that are on that field with me. I believe in my teammates, and because more than even on the field, I see the work they put in every single day and how hard they work to go out there and execute at a high level. And there's times where I need to get rid of the football. I take some unnecessary hits as well. And it's about coming together as a team and being that unit that's in sync every single snap. And I think if we do that, we'll go out there and execute at the level that we want to.
Patrick, when it comes to this game and this what's now really a rivalry, 8 times in the last 5 years you guys played in this millennium, the only people that have done that is Brady and Manning, and now it's you and Allen. Just what is it about this game that just brings out the best of both of you guys, and how much respect you have for the other side of the field, especially the way Josh Allen's playing?
Yeah, I mean, you're playing the best. I mean, the best of the best. That's what you want in this league. And I've been able to go up against Josh a multitude of times. And every single game, it seems like it comes down to the very end. And he's a guy that competes, and he has that fire. I think you can see that fire that he plays with, and that kind of goes through his entire team. And a lot of guys have had a lot of success. And so we know it's going to take our best football. I think that's what we know. And if we don't, we're going to lose, and we've lost some. And we've won some, so I'm just hoping that this week we can get out there, play our best football, and find a way to get a win.
And you've played so many games so far with that friendship you guys have had. You know, you guys have played golf together. It's been all documented on that. But, like, now as the games have progressed, is the kind of the conversations that's still there? Is it kind of spaced away since, the games have been so crucial?
No, we still stay in touch. I mean, especially in the off seasons, just kind of with both of our love for golf and just being around the people. And I know Shane Buchel, and he was here, and now he's there. And so he's a really good dude. I think that's why his team plays so hard for him. But, I mean, obviously we're both competitors. So in the season, not as much talking as we're both going for that ultimate goal, the Super Bowl. But at the same time, there's a ton of respect both ways.
Scott, in the offseason, talking about Hollywood, you almost said, I was surprised we were able to get this guy in the room. Now a few weeks with DeAndre, is there a similar feeling that, like, you're surprised that this guy was available for you guys?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I watched some Tennessee's tape, but at the same time, not having him here, you didn't know what to expect as far as the player on and off the field. And he gets in the room, and he's a leader from day one. He's teaching younger guys. He's helping younger guys in the room about stuff that he's learned. And then you get on the practice field, and you see how explosive he still is and how he can still make these plays. And he can go one-on-one with the best of the best and win. And it was definitely a pleasant surprise for me just seeing him on that football field. And I think I can even give him more and more chances as it goes on, because he seems like he's making plays every time I do.
Patrick, you were pretty close to having a pretty big offensive day on Sunday. You talked about those couple misses you had after the game. Just wonder how long did you focus on that? Does it get extra focus as you watch film? What's kind of your process as you go through those aspects?
Yeah, I mean, I just got to go back to the fundamentals and trying to make those throws. I mean, you can only do so much as far as when you miss stuff, but you go back and learn from it as best as you can and get back to your fundamentals. And there was a couple of these last few weeks I've missed Xavier on some of those deep shots, and I feel like if I hit those shots, the offense looks completely different, not only for those numbers and those stats, but it opens up everything else for everybody else. And so just trying to get back to that. He's getting open every single game, hitting those throws whenever I can, and it'll take pressure off the rest of the offense as well.
What did you see just for his ability what stood out about him getting open on that play?
Yeah, I think you can see how much he learned from week to week. I mean, the week before he got open and kind of faded a little bit, caught the ball, and ended up being out of bounds, whereas you saw in that double move, he kind of kind of stacked the guy, we say, got back on the red line, gave me room to throw, and then I threw the ball out of bounds. And so you see those steady progressions each and every week. And I think in the long run, it's going to really pay off because he is getting open. And I have the confidence I'll be able to hit him on some of those shots down the field. And like I said, it's going to open up the rest of the offense as well.
Patrick, you mentioned a minute ago, like, you learned how to just embrace how to win the game, stats aside. Like, how would you describe what that looks like and feels like in-game?
Yeah, I think you get a feel for how the defense is playing. You get a feel for how the whole game's going, the flow of the offense. And then you try to make the best decision on when to not and when to take chances. In certain games, you got to take some of those chances. You got to go out there and score some points. And I feel like I've done that at certain points this year. And then in certain games, the defense is kind of shutting the door. They're winning the game kind of for us. And I just have to execute in those big moments. And I think last week, if I executed on that throw to Travis or Xavier in that last drive, that would have been kind of reading the game the right way and getting us enough room for the win. And luckily for us, Leo makes a great play whenever I don't execute in that moment. But I've learned from playing a lot of games to kind of win are those big moments and when you need to go out there and make plays.
We'll go last to you, Nate, Vahe, and then Todd. Go ahead, Nate.
Patrick, similar to you is someone like Chris on the defense. You know, his stats may not reflect the sort of play that he's having, but what have you sort of appreciated or noticed from what he's done this season, kind of in a similar vein from a leadership standpoint on the defensive side?
Yeah, first off, like you said, leadership. I mean, he comes to work every single day. He gets after it. He's practicing hard. He's showing that. I mean, he's another guy that's going to have a gold jacket, and he's showing that he can get in there and get reps in practice, and he can get after it. And I think more than anything is he understands the scheme that the offense is doing. So sometimes he's taking up two blockers. He's taking up three blockers so that a blitzer can get free. And a lot of times you might try to do too much in that situation, but he knows that when his time comes, when they do give him that single one-on-one block, he's going to win. And those are usually the biggest moments of the game. And I think they do a great job as a full defense of executing and running the entire scheme. And it's not about one guy. But it does help when you have that guy in the middle.
Bye.
Patrick, it seems that DeAndre has a bit of a distinct skill set. I wonder how that affects your reliability with him, your connectivity with him. Does that give you kind of a mindset of chemistry with him?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the ability to win one-on-one is special. I mean, that truly is special. And sometimes it gets lost. Because whenever you got a guy in the boundary that's one-on-one with, I mean, like this week he was with Surtain, and Surtain's one of the best corners in the league, and he was winning some of those matchups, and he's really kind of showcasing that he can win one-on-one versus anybody. And that stuff that takes pressure, it puts pressure on the defense whenever I'm hitting those guys over there in those one-on-one matchups and making them push guys over, which is opening up everybody else. And so that, as well as being able to make tough and contested catches, like the deep cross he had over the middle of the field, that stuff that just in my mind shows me I need to give him more and more chances in those situations.
Is there any part of his game that you didn't realize he'd have? I mean, is there something that surprised you?
I think just the kind of the wiggle that he has, not only catching the ball and able to make stuff miss and get up the field, but as well as running the routes. I mean, whenever you get around a guy like that, you don't see those things often. So to be able to see that at such a high level, I think it showcases to everybody what type of player he is.
Last two, Todd and Steve. Go ahead, Todd.
A lot of folks are talking about the matchup between you and Josh Allen. You're playing the Buffalo defense. Mm-hmm. What do they look like this year? What sort of strengths do they have that cause you guys the most problems?
Yeah, I think it's what they do every year. I mean, they do a great job of being really, really good at their scheme with great players. They rush the passer well, and it's not just one guy. It's a multitude of guys that play extremely hard and get after the passer, and then they turn the ball over. And that's the staple of great defenses is being able to rush the passer, stop the run, and turn the ball over, and they do all those things really, really well. And so it's going to take our best football, like I said. And I know it sounds cliche, but in order to win this game, you're going to have to play your best football. And I think that we're going to have to go out there and do that, and it's going to be a tough environment to do it in.
Steve?
Patrick, last week you got posted a photo of Tom Brady and Randy Moss. Wanted to see if you saw that, see if you think that there's any similarities there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a cool photo because you know what they did together. D-Hop is a receiver that's on that level where he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and I'm trying to get to as close as I can to Tom as possible. Yeah. But other than the stats and all that different type of stuff, I want to get that Super Bowl ring, and so if we can go get that one, I'll be good to post a picture of our own.
There you go. Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, that photo was out about a week ago. I'm sure some of you that spent some time on social media probably saw that. That was tweeted out by DeAndre Hopkins himself. And we do know what they accomplished together. And there's, who knows how many years Mahomes and Hop are going to played together. Hopefully, you know, we had a topic last week. We were talking about, hey, depending on how this thing goes, there's a chance maybe he's back next year and all that. But ultimately, how that relationship between the two is going to be judged is, do they get to a Super Bowl? Do they win a Super Bowl? But he did say multiple times throughout that sequence, Cody, that he feels like he actually needs to give D-Hop more chances based off of, like, clearly winning one-on-ones, clearly can make
catch
a contested. He trusts somebody. He's like, I got to give him some more opportunities.
That's also just not something we talked about this with DeAndre Hopkins and some other wide receivers in that style, which is, that's not a throw. Like that back shoulder sideline throw, whatever. That's not been the throw that he has made very often in his career. Maybe just because of the style of wide receiver he's had. Well, he has one. DeAndre Hopkins is an all-timer at that level of ability or doing that kind of thing. And so, yeah, I think there's always kind of an opportunity to do it. I'm excited because, like, Hopkins is, like, he's firmly in the, what level can we take this to? Because I saw 80 yards and 2 touchdowns a couple weeks. Like, what is, like, the maximum level of your pairing you can get to by the end of the season? And especially in a matchup where every point's going to matter against Buffalo, well, Hopkins becomes more important because they don't have much wiggle room in a matchup in a team that is clearly, I think, the second best team in the AFC.
And in this rivalry, as I think it was Harold asked the question and mentioned, just like how often they have played. I mean, when you've played 8 times, sure, and that's up there in NFL history for this many matchups in a decade or a 5-year period, I even think. But we haven't. The Bills haven't seen Mahomes with DeAndre Hopkins. They've seen him with Tyreek Hill. They've obviously saw him with Rashee Rice last year. They haven't seen him with an offense that has D-Hop maybe with a healthy Juju. We'll see if he plays with the Xavier Worthy, with the Kelsey. Like, there's some excitement for me to see that. Like, it is every year there's still new wrinkles. We know Andy adds, but now this is a different player. We haven't seen the Bills. How will the Bills, they've gone up against DeAndre Hopkins before when he's with Tennessee, but like,
yeah,
how will they handle him? This is the first time they'll have a player like that with Kelsey.
They know what they at least we've talked about this. They've played 8 times,
yeah,
8 times in the last 5 years when they finished playing their game on Sunday. That's a crazy amount for two teams who aren't in the same division.
Thanks for hanging out with us during your lunch hour. And Jefferson's is the official lunch partner of 96.5 The Fan. You can catch every game at Jefferson's, whether it's the block field goal to an incredible catch. Witness every moment at a restaurant that's proudly local. Visit Jefferson's in Lenexa or in North KC. Jefferson's, wings, burgers, oysters.
Those two locations are owned by a current 96.5 part-time employee.
We, of course, done some of our Coding Gold Guillotine League drafts up there. We've did our Royals watch parties there. So
they brought us some cups so that we had, like, and I forgot my water cup today, which I appreciate. Get some wings next week. What do you think?
Well, next week we're definitely getting wings in this studio. We're going to have to, like, balance eating. And I mean, you're going to have to, like, take a break for a second so you can eat a wing. I don't know. We'll have to figure it out, man.
Well, because what happened was, is, like, especially think about the timing. Our Instagram video is, would you rather drums or flats?
Perfect.
I was a little surprised to find out you were a flats guy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, I agree with Rob that what Rob said in the video too, overall, like, wings, like, you can't go wrong.
Yeah,
really,
I'll eat either.
You really can't go wrong. But if you're giving me the choice at Jefferson's, if they said, hey, you could just order all flats or all drums, I would choose the all flats if they gave me that option.
Are you paying the extra dollar or whatever?
I would.
Some places?
I would. I know, not to get, like, we're talking about drums or flats. I still also, at Jefferson's a lot of the time, I end up just going boneless, I'll be honest. I just, when we were doing the watch parties, because we're shaking people's hands and I didn't want to have a mess, I decided to go boneless.
Very considerate.
A honey barbecue boneless at Jefferson's. So we appreciate them. They're our official lunch partner here on 96.5 The Fan. There was another part of that press conference at the very beginning on a more serious end, and I think it was pretty surprising for everybody to see yesterday. I'm surprised it took a month to be out there. I'm guessing Mahomes and Kelsey really didn't want it to become public knowledge. Initially, TMZ had the report, and since then, it's been confirmed by every local outlet. And that was that both Kelsey and Mahomes had their homes burglarized. And it sounds like from the timeline, even though Mahomes couldn't really answer too much detail on it, it was the night when the Royals were playing the Yankees in the divisional round and the night the Chiefs were hosting the Saints.
Yeah, so they just waited for these athletes. And look, they claim in the article that maybe it was just part of a string of other robberies.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like an accident that they're like, everyone's busy tonight. Chiefs are hosting the Saints. Royals are playing this. Someone's going to be in a ball. Everyone's going to be busy. So I'm going to go rob them then.
Yeah, without getting into, like, I mean, look, I'm not going to get into details where they live, but a lot of you know where they live. I am stunned that someone can't just walk up to, I'm not going to name the neighborhood, we all kind of know, but like, it's not you can just walk up.
You're gonna dox.
No, that's what I'm not gonna do. the complete opposite. I mean, all the articles have basically said where they live.
Yes.
But the point being is, like, I'm surprised those neighborhoods you could just walk right up. It makes you wonder if somebody you had access or something. It's we're all speculating now, but, like, obviously terrible. Hate to see anybody's home get burglarized. That's got to be scary for anybody when you have, you know, you're talking about wife and kids and stuff
like
that.
Well, I mean, according to the Travis Kelce one, they stole $20,000 in cash.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Yep. They said
Chiefsaholics behind bars. What's going on?
Taylor was in town that day, so, like, that could have added a whole nother security thing. They fortunately stayed at a hotel that night.
There you go.
So, like, that one. So, like, there's this whole this stuff. It's like, first off, Kansas City, these are true sons. What are you doing? I understand that, like, some of the things that lead to people into a life of general crime or into a life of burglary. You robbing Mahomes and Kelce?
You can't just walk. You can't just walk up there. So that's what makes you wonder. Like, somebody had access to the community or whatever.
Like, you have to live in the neighborhood, pretty much.
It's a gated community. I mean, like, so I just. I'm not saying that prevents any crime from ever happening just because you have a gate, but, like,
making a bad decision to break in somebody's house alone, taking $20,000, that's going to land your ass in prison for a long time. You think Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes don't have?
I don't think it was teenagers.
You think they don't have cameras on their house? They're Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. They got cameras.
I'm just saying. You think about nowadays whether you're in a gated community or not. How many people have access to enter said gate of the community? Think about, like, I'm not picking on any one person, but, like, think about all the different services and deliveries, et cetera, that are all out there. Like, it's not foolproof system, but yeah, I was stunned to see that. Fortunately, nobody was hurt or anything like that. That's the most important thing there. But that was obviously, if you're wondering why the questions were there at the beginning of the press conference with Mahomes, that was in reference to probably what most of you have seen, which was the news yesterday. TMZ, of course, was the first to get. I mean, it's unbelievable. TMZ, just no matter where in the world, they somehow have access to anything. It's incredible.
Yeah, sometimes to, I'll be honest, a grotesque level. Like, I'm assuming saw what happened a few weeks ago when they sent out a video of a person's dead body. Because they're like, exclusive photos, a dead guy. And you're like, maybe don't. How about just a little editorial control there, TMZ, where you think, you know what? Maybe not. They're like, and then their initial response before taking it down was, it's just like his arms, you know, so you probably not a huge deal. Like, I'm not even kidding. That was their actual response, the kid from One Direction, Liam. And it was just like, are you nuts? You can't send stuff like that out. But yeah, they seem to know about the burglary before the rest of us.
Yeah.
And it must have been a police officer, right? I mean, the fact that it was kept quiet for a full month. Oh,
I'm not going to accuse anybody.
Come
on,
man.
Cody. Come on now.
Who the hell found out? A month?
Who
I don't know. You're right. But either way, that's like, maybe inside man.
Who knows, man? I don't know.
By the way, TMZ, you don't need to know everything. Just chill a little. You cannot know everything.
The reason why I'm stunned that the dollar amount was out there, because my guess, if you're Mahomes and Kelce, you don't want it to ever become public what was or wasn't taken.
Yeah.
So I'm actually surprised that the dollar amount is even out there.
It's in the TMZ article.
And there's obviously a police report or whatever.
Someone says maybe T and Z broke in and then reported it. That's how they got there first.
Jeez.
They just sent a reporter.
Goodness. Jeez.
That's a deep state conspiracy. That is way down the list. Let's talk a little bit about the Chiefs, since Andy and Pat just talked about, and we know how big this game is on Sunday. We had said yesterday, and I think it very seems true, and Ross Tucker said it, this is the single biggest regular season game so far in the NFL this season. There are three different matchups. Steelers-Ravens is this weekend. On Thursday Night Football, you're getting Philadelphia and the Commanders, two teams with 7 wins. There are some massive division matchups this week in the NFL. This is the single biggest game on the slate. This might end up being the single biggest regular season game of the entire year. It had me wondering the same question, because, like, before the season, we always give our predictions. But now the Chiefs are 9-0. If they win on Sunday, they're 10-0. What do you think, not knowing what Sunday will bring?
Yeah.
What do you think the Chiefs' record finishes at, is what we were talking about early. And I'm having a really, if they win 15-2, if they lose, I still think they're going 14-3. I'm having a hard time imagining a team that is this good, led by Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, is going to play sub 500 football the rest of the season. That borderline seems impossible.
So 14-3 preseason was where I thought they were at. And that was including losses to Atlanta, Buffalo, and then Pittsburgh later on in the year. Well, they didn't lose to Atlanta. They're playing Buffalo this week. They have a chance to get to 10-0. how am I not bumping the number to 15-2? Like, how am I not doing that? Even if they lose to Buffalo, how am I not? I mean, based on my trajectory, the tricky thing will be that stretch of games, Houston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, later on in the year, where's their health at? But this team is actually getting healthier. Not that they won't have a new injury the rest of the way, but like they're getting healthier right now. So I feel better actually about that situation, that they made it through what I hope will be the most injury riddled stretch of their season, and they're 9-0. And yeah, if you think they're winning on Sunday against Buffalo, then I don't know how your answer isn't at least 15-2 now.
That 3-game stretch, it is kind of important to know, because like Cleveland, if it was squeezed in the middle, I think that becomes a more challenging game. Jameis just goes off or whatever. They're not a very good defense anymore. They're 21st ranked in points per game in the NFL. The Cleveland one is on a normal week, right? There's no short week to it. They play Cleveland after a normal amount of time off. It really, like, the 3 games in 11 days sometimes gets blown out in the sense that the first one actually doesn't mean anything, right? It only means something as it relates to the 2 following games after that. When they head into Cleveland, they'll be on full rest under a normal circumstance. That's a dub. So really, the 2 games are at Houston, at Pittsburgh, or no, at home against Houston, and at Pittsburgh, where they run into these games where it's like, wow, those are close. You only get like 4 days rest right after Cleveland, and then you only get another 5 days, 6 days rest, right, for the Pittsburgh game. Those games are tight. But let's just say they lose both and lose to Denver the final week of the season because they're locked in. If they beat Buffalo, this is at bare, I think the worst they would finish is 14 games if they beat Buffalo. But the truth is, I think they're bottom. Do you even think they could go 13-4? Like, if I made you $1,000 even money either side, they either win 13 or less games or win 14 or more, and you don't know Sunday's result.
Yeah.
You're betting 14, right?
Absolutely, I am. Absolutely, I am. I mean, look where this team is at, and also their schedule. Like, I know Carolina's on the next week. I know they get the Raiders again. I know they do have Cleveland. Like, that's 3. So let's, you know, like if they're getting to 10, there's 13-0. It won't be 13-0. There's a tougher game, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they're 13. I know they're at least getting to 13 wins before they would even play Pittsburgh, in my opinion, before they would play Houston, before they would have some of those games, even if you're not taking the exact order, just thinking the math of how many wins. Like, I don't know how the math checks out for them to have fewer than 14 wins if they win on Sunday. Like, yeah. I mean,
they'd have to lose a lot of games that you'd be like, but just how? I'm having a hard time imagining them losing to 3, even if it includes this one. There are 8 games remaining. They lose this one. Okay, so they got 7 games remaining, and they can only take on 2 more losses to get to the 13 end. So I think they go 4-2. That doesn't seem, or 5-2. I mean, maybe, right? Maybe you'd be like, well, they're not playing good football now. So 5-2, that's a strong winning contingent. But like, it's just still hard to imagine.
Some of the odds over at FanDuel, you can check out in relation to this conversation. I'll talk more about this tonight on that betting show, by the way, back live 6-7 here on 96.5 The Fan. Then I'll hand things off to Drew and Mac as they have after hours tonight. So on FanDuel, when is the first loss going to come? Odds, those exist, of course. So this week you would just bet the money line. So you would just, yeah. But they don't even offer because you would just be betting game, sure. Right? Like you just bet the game. After this, at Carolina, 13-1. Raiders week 15-1. Week 14 against the Chargers is actually the favorite to be the first loss. Like, if we're other than this Sunday. Okay.
Because they're like, if they get through this Sunday, they're like, we're not giving you any odds that it's Panthers or Raiders. Thanks.
First loss to come at Cleveland week 15 is 11-1 versus Houston week 16 is 12-1. And then if they get to the last week of the season against the Broncos, it's 23-1. So, but to go perfect, 8-1, to go 17-0 right now, the odds are 8-1. When we were out at Circa in Vegas 3 weeks ago now, I guess, they were offering it at 23-1 then. That was before the Raiders game. So 8-1, is that good enough value for you to put down?
I'd rather just roll my money into money line win every
goes
week.
Back to the coach of the year conversation yesterday. Andy's 6.5 to 1 to win coach of the year. I think you're better off not even leaving it up to voters. The only way he might win it is undefeated anyway. You might as well. I mean,
get 8-1 if you're doing it.
If you're debating those. But I thought that was interesting for where the odds market is. And, of course, the Chiefs are the favorites to have the best record in all of football. Minus 180 right now. The Lions are plus 290. Those are the only two teams you can really bet on for best regular season record now.
I don't like any of those odds. How am I only getting 8-1 for an undefeated season? They have
It's not good enough value bet.
They have 8 more games left to play.
Yeah.
I'm just not kidding. Like, I guarantee you it would be more profitable to take the Chiefs on the money line. Like, let's say you're going to bet $100 to win $800 for the Chiefs to go undefeated. I guarantee you it'd be more profitable if I took $100 on the Chiefs to win against the Bills this week on the money line. And then I just took money line the final 7 games. Like, and then at the very least, I could eject on that plan. Does that make sense? I could get 4 weeks into it and be like, you know what? I'm getting out.
I hear you. The only problem with that potentially is that, like, next week it's Carolina. They're minus 820 on the money line. So, I mean, that's the only problem with that.
You're going to be the same amount after the second week. Sure.
Yeah. Up next, though, let's talk a little bit more about these two quarterbacks and what we're going to see between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Plus, we've got another random question of the day.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.